Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. We're joined by Nick Caldas, former New South Wales Police
Deputy Commissioner.
And we're at the second annual Safety, Security and Counterterrorism Forum in Sydney. Nick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Nick, you're now based with the United Nations.
Yes.
And we haven't done too much of a pre-interview talk, but you've just given a presentation on lone wolf terrorism.
Yes.
And given your background, the audience is a technology, cyber audience predominantly, but also security. Maybe just talk about what your role is at currently.
Sure.
And we're just going to talk about some of the trends that you're seeing in this space.
Yep. I'm the Director of Internal Oversight for UNRWA, which is a portion of the UN. We cover five areas, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Gaza and the West Bank. So I'm in charge effectively of all the investigations, audits, evaluation programs and an ethics division, which is meant to instill appropriate behaviour in that area. And it's obviously a difficult environment. There's at least one war zone in the patches that we cover and problem areas like Gaza where there's a sort of simmering conflict that's not been resolved for decades. It's a tough environment, but it's certainly it's been a huge learning curve, and I've really enjoyed the compliance side of the stuff we do with audits and evaluation programs and assessing whether things have succeeded that we've poured millions of dollars into and so on behalf of the donors and the United Nations sort of secretariat. So I'm quite happy to have had that role, and I'll eventually gravitate back to Sydney. Today was a very interesting conference, and I was asked to talk about the threat of the lone wolf. And I hope I gave a bit of an overview of the path that some of these people take to head down this road, irrational though it may be. And then more importantly, to focus on the sorts of things that the industry and government generally should perhaps think about to tackle this specific type of threat.
Well, and it sounds like you travel a lot again. You mentioned you're in New York for a conference last week as well.
Yeah.
Thinking about the technology and thinking about the simplicity of a lone wolf attack, are you starting to see that connectivity between what the capability of a lone wolf attacker may have in a technology vector? It would be a cyber crime or a cyber attack.
Yeah.
And also the detection capabilities of law enforcement for that.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that I don't think is happening, greatly is the level of sophistication of lone wolves has not really been enhanced or increased or improved in any way. It is still very low-tech, less complex attacks such as renting a truck or buying a knife or just simply going out with a baseball bat or whatever it might be. And that's what ISIS and Al-Qaeda have advocated, that you don't have to be a chemist to put together a complex hydrogen bomb. Just go out and do your duty as a jihadist. And there have been, unfortunately, dozens and dozens who have heeded that call. In terms of managing or responding to that threat, what I've advocated today and what I talked about is that we ought to, collectively talking about the industry, security industry, commerce and the business sector, as well as government, we ought to, two things I'm advocating. One is to cooperate more effectively together and exchange information in a more meaningful way, and that applies to government more than the private sector. And then the second thing is to embrace the technology because it has evolved very rapidly in terms of artificial intelligence, facial recognition, automatic number plate recognition. They are all things, and I use two examples, one in New York and one in China, where they are using facial recognition technology very effectively to counter that threat, particularly lone wolf. In New York, they're using it to identify those who are on their radar and in their system. If they spot them coming into Manhattan, for instance, or if their car is coming into Manhattan, it raises alarm bells, and they've established a fairly rapid response capacity so they can deal with that if they see it coming.
So they're using their system. They're putting up faces or people that they're looking out to be cared for.
Yeah.
What about the use of whitelisting where, you know, a bit more like our airport approach where we get whitelisted?
I think, look, there is definitely benefits in all of that. But there will be those who say it's too dangerous and encroaches on people's liberty and all of that. But I believe that all of that technology is useful and should be looked at, and you can manage it. You can build checks and balances in so that it doesn't do anything that's not intended to do or hurts the community in any way. But I don't think it's right to throw out the baby with the bathwater and saying, look, it's going to infringe on people's privacy, we won't do it. And the best example I can think of is the use of CCTV some two decades ago. It began very extensively in London and the UK, and they have solved so many, not only terrorism cases, but general crime cases with their comprehensive use of CCTV, particularly in the London metropolitan area, in the central business district.
Do you find, with your experience in the Middle East and travelling around, do you see the consistency in technology globally, or do you see disparate uses of technology?
No, it's very, very diverse, and I won't say dysfunctional, but there's so much inconsistency in the way people are tackling these issues. And I have to say, even within Australia, from one state to the next, and one of the things I've advocated today is that we ought to think about a more consistent, rigorous national approach so that we're all on the same page, at least within Australia. But you raise a good point, Chris. If you look at what's happening in the UAE, for instance, and they obviously have, you know, quite a bit of money to be able to spend on this stuff, they have really embraced the technology and they're doing amazing things and heading towards using much more effectively face recognition and number plate recognition and so on, particularly in Abu Dhabi, which I'm aware of, in a really positive way. It's just to help the security agencies.
Yeah.
And I mean, anywhere in the Middle East, there are issues. And they're closer to conflict zones and so on, and they do feel the impact of tragedies that happen in that part of the world, perhaps a bit more than we do in Australia or in the West. So I'm really applaud them for their embracing of technology and for trying to use it in a much more effective way.
Well, Nick Cowdus, now with the United Nations, a former Deputy Commissioner for New South Wales Police, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Chris. Much appreciated.